Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. And what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place. We pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge, and not only to our membership, but to whoever would come through the doors, that they would sense the Lord's presence and receive what God has for them. I trust that is what's going to take place today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 4, Luke in chapter 4, we're going to be reading verse 31 down to verse 37. This is early on in Jesus' public ministry as he's out and preaching the gospel. He's preaching and teaching New Testament doctrines everywhere he would go, in all the synagogues and all the places that he would find people. So if you'll stand with me this morning, we're going to be reading here in Luke chapter 4, verse 31, down to verse 37, this event in the life of Christ. The Bible says, "And Jesus came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.' And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you made available to each one that's here and to all that are here that took advantage of the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for what we've already heard and been blessed by today. But now as we look into this passage of Scripture, I believe, God, that you have a message and something for each and every one that's here. You know what kind of spiritual needs are represented here this morning. And I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. As he goes to Capernaum, he went into the synagogue or the church there, and he came across a demon-possessed man who was in church or in the synagogue at this time. I'd like to preach a message to you as we've just read this passage of Scripture on what hearing the truth can do for someone. What hearing the truth can do. First of all, and I think the focal point of this outside of Jesus is this man. This man that has an evil spirit. The Bible says in verse 33, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice." Demon possession, as you read through the Gospels especially, you find that Jesus came across, and even the disciples whom he had empowered come across, a lot of demon possession. This would have been some 2,000 years ago. The world was quite a bit different at that time. There was a lot of evil in the world. There's always been evil in the world. But demon possession, especially there in Israel, was a common thing that they had to deal with. And so we find many different events where Jesus or his disciples were battling demon possession. Now, demon possession is not as prevalent today. And the reason being is because of Christ coming and establishing Christianity. The world has changed quite a bit in some 2,000 years because of the introduction of Christianity. And it has impacted the entire world. especially as we look in the United States of America. There's no doubt that there has been a Christianity has impacted this great nation, and God has worked through this nation to accomplish much that he had for his church to accomplish, and that is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. And so you don't find demon possession as prominent when Christianity is promoted in the society of humanity, because it makes you aware of who God is. It makes you aware of evil, and you're not as apt to yield to evil and give in to demonic possessions. So it's not as prevalent today because of his establishing of Christianity. And the other thing that has taken place that has done away with or has limited Satan from demon possession is the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God during this church age has to allow the things to go on. He limits Satan. He limits spiritual conflicts that we have. And so we have the establishing of Christianity and the presence of the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God, which limits. Now, we have that, helps us understand that. That's what the Bible says. Over in the book of 1 John, let me just read this to you. Mark it down, though. You might want to go back and reference this. But in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says this: "And he that committeth sin is of the devil." Satan is influencing people to commit sin. He has the world, the flesh, to use against us because we all have a sin nature. And the world, the philosophies of the world are much different from the ways of God and outside of yielding to Christianity. The Bible said that he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the last 2,000 years after Christ come and after he introduced Christianity into the world, it has limited the evil that was in the world. There's still demon possession. You'll find it more in some third world countries where they do not have the influence of Christianity. You'll find this a lot in areas where people have given themselves over to evil. But again, in America, it's here, but you don't hear as much about it. It's not as prevalent, but there is the influence of evil spirits. Every one of us, on a daily basis, whether you realize it or not, you come across the influence of evil, trying to get you to yield to evil. And we find that that's something that we will continue to battle until the rapture of the church. But we find here that this demon-possessed man, this was something that is recorded for us to learn from this. This particular individual was demon-possessed, but he was actually, if you will, in church. He went to the synagogue, which was a religious place, a place where they would be known to teach people about God. That's what the church ought to be known for today. The church ought to be a place where people identify the church with the teachings of God, the understanding of what the Bible teaches humanity. What a powerful Sunday school we had this morning, and understanding that, establishing that. You see, Bible conviction, okay, it comes from what the Bible says. There's a difference between preference and conviction. Everyone has different preferences on a lot of different things, but our convictions ought to be based on the Bible, and that's all of us ought to have the very same convictions, because it's related to what the Bible says. And the church ought to, the name of the church, the denomination of the church, ought to identify you with what you believe. Because that church is there, ought to be there, to present the teachings of Christ. His church was established to represent him, which is the body, and Jesus being the head of the body. And so we find here, the synagogue is where Jesus was going into, because he knew that people would come to the synagogue to have a better understanding of God. And Jesus was there to give them a insight into the fulfillment of the Old Testament and into the revelation that God has brought to humanity concerning Christianity. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, come into this world to save sinners. Amen. He established his church that we might go out and we might preach the word and help people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we don't know if this was a regular attender. We don't know if he was accustomed to coming to every church service or if he had just come on this particular Lord's Day. In the Old Testament, they were on the Sabbath day. Jesus became the Lord of the Sabbath and established Sunday as the first day of the week for the assembly of the church. But it was the same concept. He was going to hear from God. He had a need. He was seeking and possibly not even aware of what his needs were. You see, the whole world needs the church, but most of the world doesn't understand their need. They don't know that they have a need for a Savior. Before you can be saved, you have to see yourself to being lost and on your way to a devil's hell. Before you can ever accept and seek after a Savior, you have to realize you're lost in need of a Savior. The world, most of the world does not see that. A lot of religion doesn't teach that. But the Bible makes that very clear. Jesus was making that very, very clear. So this man was there. He had an indwelling of an evil spirit, a demonic possession. Whether he knew about it or not, more than likely he did not. He didn't know his need. But he was seeking because he was in the synagogue. He was at the place of worship. Well, Jesus came. Jesus came to the synagogue and he knew exactly who was there. His message, verse 31 and verse 32, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. He came for one purpose, and that is to teach and to preach the gospel. Amen. New Testament revelations from God. And they were astonished at his doctrine, the doctrines of the Bible. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. The outline and the title of his message is really not given to us. But the impact of his message is revealed. The impact, first of all, with everyone who heard him, the Bible says they were astonished. That means to fill with sudden or overpowering surprise or wonder. They had not heard that before. You remember the first time you heard the truth of the gospel and you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? Wow, I can remember that. Because as far as I know, the very first time that I come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, I got saved. I yielded to it. And it impacted my life. When I heard that there was the reality of a devil's hell, when I heard of the reality of a heaven, when I understood that Jesus came to pay a sin debt that I owed and couldn't pay, it all sunk in. I was only 8 years old, but I was old enough to understand that I was a sinner and Jesus was a Savior. I was lost and he could save me. And I cried out because I was overwhelmed with the powerful teaching that I heard and the conviction of God. And I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. He changed my life. And not only that, he's never left me. He continues to change my life. He continues to impact every thought that I have and every decision I make, because now he dwells within me. What a blessing. His message impacted those that heard his message and they were astonished. The people had not heard what he preached before. They certainly had not had the conviction of God like they had at this time. It was the truth of the Bible. You see, you don't get convicted over stories, funny stories. You don't get convicted over love and fellowship and entertainment. You get convicted when you hear something from the Word of God that convicts your heart because you know that you're living in sin. And when you hear preaching against sin, against what God says thou shalt not do, or maybe even that which you should do that you're not doing, and you hear the Bible presented as from God and the Spirit of God empowering the Word of God, and you come under conviction, listen to me, it'll make a difference. No one's ever been saved that has not come under the conviction of God before salvation. No one has ever determined to live for God that did not come under conviction over how they were living away from God. The impact of his message. People had not heard what he had preached. It was a truth from the Bible. See, people ought to go to church, first of all, but to learn about God. To learn about what God has to say. He's the creator. He's the designer of all things. I ought to want to know what the designer, the Lord of lords and King of kings, has for us. Most people go to church, as we mentioned in Sunday school, out of convenience instead of out of conviction. Yeah. They heard Spirit-filled, Bible-centered preaching. John chapter 7. Look over there with me. If I go too fast, write it down. John chapter 7, because they heard what Jesus preached, which is New Testament Bible. He was bringing to humanity the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the establishing of New Testament Christianity, which has impacted this world, whether you want to believe it or not. It's unmistakable. You go back over the last 2,000 years, when Jesus established Christianity, it has impacted the world like nothing else has impacted our world. The Bible says in John chapter 7 and verse 45, as the Pharisees sent the soldiers out to bring Christ in, this is what the Bible says. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. We heard him preach. We heard him speak. And we were astonished. And we lost sight of bringing him to you. We just were astonished. We come under conviction. What this man is preaching makes sense. What this man is preaching is powerful. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Like that was what you had to do in order to get saved. You had to look to somebody else to determine whether or not what you heard was right or wrong. The Pharisees did not want to hear what he had to say. The Pharisees had already blinded their minds to whatever it was he would present. You have to be open to the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, and to receive the conviction from the Word of God that will change your life. Politics today. I'm not into preaching politics. I'm not into any of that. We're coming on a very important time when everybody's voice can be heard. Praise the Lord for democracy. We are part of a nation that believes in freedom of religion, first of all, but then a democracy where they listen to the voice of the people. And I believe Christian people ought to let their voices be heard. And the way we do this is on Tuesday. You better get out and you ought to vote, and you better be voting biblical conviction. That's what the world needs, is more of a biblical conviction than of a preferred lifestyle. A convenient lifestyle. If we're going to have that, then we need to voice what the Word of God teaches us individually. And when we have an opportunity to impact our society, then we use what we have, and that is a vote. Praise the Lord for that. The Pharisees, they wanted to establish religion. They wanted to establish a way of life. They didn't want to hear from Jesus. They had already blocked out their minds. They wasn't looking to see what was best for the nation. They had blocked in their minds, and they were determined to have their way, no matter what. Sounds a lot like politics today. But what the officer said, can't deny it. Never a man spoke like this man before. Yeah. They heard spirit-filled, Bible-centered preaching. This was Jesus. This was God who was there in the beginning of all creation. Nothing was created without him being there. He's God. He became man to give us an example of how what God expects out of our lives. Christianity was an example of God living in human flesh and establish a lifestyle that God wants all people to live by. Christianity. So he was there in this synagogue, in this church service, when this man was there seeking but didn't really understand what he had need of. But he had a demon possession that whether he realized it or not, we don't know. Jesus was teaching New Testament scriptures, but he was making applications knowing what each one needed to hear. You see, when you come to church and you hear the word of God being preached, it's the Spirit of God that takes it and applies it to your life. I don't preach to individuals. I don't do that. I spend all week long preparing messages and surrendering my thoughts to God's thoughts and my heart to God's heart, saying, God, use me. Help me to present your message to your people, whoever that's going to be. I don't know who's going to be here from one service to the next. I'm going to preach the same message whether you're here or not. Amen. But many times you're going to feel like I preach directly to you. That's because of the Holy Spirit of God. That's because of the Spirit of God empowering the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. He won't empower my philosophies, but he will empower everything that I preach that's in the Bible. Jesus was there knowing who was there. He was making application, and he probably, in his message, said, some of you are demon-possessed. Because there was at least one that was demon-possessed. And that man come under conviction. You have the influence of an evil spirit that's directing your thoughts and directing your life. And when you come underneath the preaching of the Word of God, the Spirit of God is there, and it is convicting you because of your sin. If they're preaching the word. Jesus spoke the word. And so he might have said something like, some of you have a possessed with a demon. What an application to at least one man. He might have said, some of you have problems with lying. And everybody thinking, I did lie. So 90% of the people have a conviction right now. He might have said, some of you have a problem with alcohol. And I look at a congregation this size and those that are here, there's probably some right now being convicted because of alcohol and how you're allowing that alcohol to control your life. It's taking you away from living the Christian life that God wants you to live. Well, see, when you start preaching the Bible and you name the sins that God says are sins, the Spirit of God takes it and he makes application. That's coming under the conviction. That's preaching with power. Wow. Jesus preached with power. That's what they're talking about there. Go back to Luke chapter 4 and verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He was preaching the doctrines. As long as we preach the doctrines, we preach Bible, then our preaching is with power. It has a conviction of the Spirit of God upon it. If you look down to verse 36, the Bible says, "And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word! What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Wow. Power. The authority of God. I don't have time to go there, but in Acts in chapter 24, when Paul was preaching the word to Felix, the Bible says after he preached it, Felix trembled because of the power of the conviction. But he said, "Not today." There never was another day. Felix died and went to a devil's hell because he did not surrender to the conviction. And then Acts in chapter 26, Paul preaches to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, "You almost made me a believer. The conviction was there, the opportunity was there." And he says to Paul, "You almost made me a believer." But he failed to believe. Turned away from the power and the conviction. God will not force you. But when you're coming to church, it's a sign that you're seeking. When you understand what church is all about, helping you to understand more about God and His Word, and you come under the preaching of the Word, you come under the conviction, and there's power in the preached Word. But you'll have to make your own decisions. The devil's response. The devil's the same today as he was then. The devil's response in verse 33 and verse 34. "The unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice." Now this is the devil's voice crying out through the body of the man, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." The man come under conviction, but the evil spirit attempted to speak for both of them. Did you see that? See, it was a man. In verse 33, in the synagogue, there was a man. Only one man, which had a spirit. As far as we know, and as we looked here, there was only one evil spirit. Now, sometimes there were more than one demons possessing an individual. This man still had his ability to think. He thought, and he went to church. This man still had his individuality. So this spirit was within him, but it was somewhat laying back. It was only influencing him to do the things that the evil spirit wanted him to do. Somehow this man went to church. What he had heard before, this evil spirit said, is not going to cause him to do anything right. It's just entertainment. But when he heard the power of the preached word, when Jesus spoke, he come under conviction. And now this demon that's within him tries to speak for not only the demon, but for the man himself. I hope you see that right there. Because he spoke out and he's saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Meaning this spirit and this man. He tried to get this man to believe, "You don't want anything to do with this. Let us alone." See, the lost who are living in sin, they have an evil influence. And when they come close to hearing the word of God, they say, "Don't tell me I'm going to hell." And they allow the evil spirit to influence them not to want to come under biblical conviction. "Let us alone." They hear this. Those who are in love with the world, who do not want to separate from worldly things, they yield more to this evil spirit, this evil influence, and they say, "We don't want anything to do with that church. We don't want anything to do with Bible-believing, Bible-preaching. Let us alone. What are we to do with thee? Leave us alone. Those who do not want accountability. There's an evil spirit saying, you don't need to be accountable to anybody. You can do whatever you want to do. Live however you want to live. Leave us alone. That might not even be that individual, but it's a spirit that tries to influence that individual and tries to speak for two of you. Yeah. We don't want anything to do with you. You will destroy our lifestyle. That's what the demon was crying out. Jesus shut this demon down because he knows the devil's a liar and all he looks to do is deceive and blind to the truth. He would not allow him to speak, to deceive with lies. In verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Can I tell you that we must learn to shut down any evil spirits who influence us against the teachings of Christ? You might not have a demon possession, but can I tell you, you can't have a demon oppressing, and you can't have evil in this world, and evil, you have evil inside of you. You have a sin nature that's after the nature of the devil himself. And if you're not careful, these will influence you to turn away from whatever it is that Jesus is teaching. Whatever it is that the Bible reveals to us is a way of life and the conviction that will come from the scriptures. If you're not careful, this evil spirit will try to speak for this spirit and for you. And you're the only one that can shut him down. You're the only one that can say, Satan, get behind me. I know what I believe. And I know who I am to please. And I know how I'm to live. And I choose to live for Christ. Amen. You have to do that. Jesus shut down this demon because he was going to speak for him and this man. And this man was seeking something that Jesus had to offer. Yeah. Listen to Jesus. I remember when I was about 10 years old, my older sister June and Ron, they had a ski boat, and of course we didn't have a whole lot, but I used to love to go out there. One of the first times I went out, I remember, and they took us out to the lakes, and I was just a 10-year-old boy. I was enjoying it. I'd never been out there before, enjoying it. The sun was out, about 85, and I was just being outside. June said, Dan, you ought to come in, put a t-shirt on, cover up. Leave me alone. I'm having fun out here. I know what I'm doing. I'm 10 years old. I stayed out there the whole day having fun. I enjoyed it until about halfway into the night. I got up and looked. I was a tomato. I have never before then or since I've ever experienced sunburn like I got that day. I was miserable. I took and wet down towels, put it over me, put a fan on me, anything to try to cool me off. Well, then it all blistered the very next day. I am covered not only with a sunburn, I've got blisters. I should have probably been taken to the hospital. My dad did not have any sympathy. You did it. Don't be crying for me for sympathy. You should have known better. And I'm thinking, I should have listened to June. One day, if you don't, you're going to say, I should have listened to Jesus. I should have realized he loves me. And he's trying to help me. And the Bible is a love letter from God to all people. Jesus shut down the demon, and this man was set free, changed his life, and gave him a testimony to tell others the importance of receiving Christ. That's happening today. If you will turn from your wicked ways, if you'll turn from sin and turn to the Savior, he'll set you free to where you'll have a testimony that will not only impact your life, but it will impact everyone that you're able to tell. It's not forced. It made a difference in this man's life. It'll make a difference in your life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. What hearing the truth can do, but only if you accept it and apply it to your life. Can I tell you, you've come seeking today. You've heard the truth. I've just preached this passage of scripture that God has given to us to preach and to teach. You've heard the truth. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for each and every one that got the victory to be in church today, and that's set underneath the teaching and the preaching of thy word. And right now, I pray for everyone who needs to make a decision. God, you've convicted them. You've revealed to them some things that they might have been blinded to. Help them before it's eternally too late to make the right decision right now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.